Welcome to Around Montgomery County. I'm David Jenkins. This is part two of our feature of the Montgomery County Star Shooters, and I was pleased to be joined by Heather Hampton Nodal and Joyce Nodal. During part two, we discussed the history of star shooters in Montgomery County.
Heather, you are the current leader. How long did you say that you had been serving for?
I think it's been 6 or 7 years so far.
Okay.
It's gone very quickly.
It usually does.
So, yeah.
And Joyce, you were the past leader. You served from 1982 to 2002. Could you tell me a little bit about the history of the Star Shooters and what the program was like while you were serving? I know 4-H was obvious. It's come a long way, in other words, to where it is today.
Well, in the beginning, when Star Shooters was formed and organized into a club, members had to be 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry, 10 years old, okay. Excuse me. 10 years old to 20. Today it's 8 years old through 18.
And then we have Clover Buds who can join at 5.
Okay.
And they have a limited number of projects they can take.
Have the Clover Buds, is that always, or is that relatively new? Or?
It's fairly new.
Okay.
Yes.
Within the last
I remember having Clover Buds when I was a leader, so it's been several years,
okay.
But it was not in play whenever we first organized, or the club was organized for several years. We did not have that.
Was there a reason for bumping the age down to 8, or was it just one of those things?
I'm wondering if over time, 4-H can be such a family affair,
mm-hmm.
where everybody is involved in the learning and the doing and learning by doing, which is the slogan.
Right.
And I think that with younger siblings, some of them are very interested. There's so much enthusiasm at that age. I think that part of it may have evolved to capture and harness a lot of their enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
We've had 8-year-olds, 7 and 8-year-olds who have put together projects that are equal to our teen members. They just do such an incredible job.
Wow.
And now it's nice. Just this year, the state of Illinois 4-H program has allowed members who are younger than 12 to exhibit at the state fair.
Mm.
That had been
mm-hmm.
a long time rule.
Right.
And I think that's a good thing because
there
is some real good quality work being done by these younger ages.
Plus, I think they added a lot more projects, so they had more choices.
Okay.
And so the younger children maybe could choose one of those projects rather than the other older ones who are having livestock projects or something, you know, that was a little more involved and
larger,
yeah.
potentially
yes.
dangerous.
Yeah. I kind of interrupted you while you were speaking ask you that question.
In 1948,
mm-hmm.
there were 18 members. In 1949, there were 23 members. And the first girls to join the club were Betty Bertolino, Dorothy Huber, Margaret Singler, and Carol Hamlin. At that time, it was mostly for boys
mm-hmm.
because there was a girls' club called Jolly Workers.
Okay.
And so they were active in their own projects. But the reason we don't have records prior to 49 is because after the war, there really were no materials, no project books, etc. So you kind of just worked with what you had. But I have past records of Montgomery County Extension Homemakers Extension. And in those records, they had monthly board meetings, at
mm-hmm.
which time they would recognize 4-H clubs. And in 1947, early, Star Shooters was mentioned. So we're guessing that 1946 was the date of organization.
So then this actually could have been older than 47. This is just what we know for
sure.
We
celebrate, right. Our 4-H year starts October 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So this 2016-2017 is kind of the year
right.
that we're recognizing
okay.
it. Now, from talking with Dale Houck, he knows he was just out of high school when he was the founding leader for Star Shooters.
Okay.
And he had worked with the Farm Bureau agent at the time, starting in 1945, with conversations and trying to get things organized and looking at patterns from other places where
mm-hmm.
4-H was starting. And then from talking with he and then some of the original members, that's why we're looking at kind of 1946 to
yeah.
actually organize and have members at a meeting in
right.
the same location.
So that if he started in 45 and it didn't get started to really 46 or 47, this took some time to actually
yes,
to get
it,
going.
Yes,
it
yeah.
did. And
mm-hmm.
you think that there are the limitations in terms of communication. Now we can email and text and have this mass communication approach, whereas there it was much more one-on-one
mm-hmm.
and through mail, and you know, transportation wasn't as easy, and
right.
just so many changes over time. It's really amazing that the type of numbers they had in the clubs, I think,
mm-hmm.
to see
yeah.
those numbers at that time
mm-hmm.
is impressive.
Oh, yeah. Well, and as you mentioned, you said, there were 19 members and then 23 the next year, so
yes.
Immediate growth.
Right, yeah. Yes. And I think as long as I can remember in prior, well, the club membership has been from 20 to 35 members. It's pretty much the same, except now there are many more members, and Heather's the leader, and I think they have 50-some members in their club.
Wow.
At present
yeah.
time.
That's what I said. I'm the administrator. I feel like an HR person sometimes.
That's pretty much, doubled then since it kind of started, so that's yeah. awesome. You think that has to do, now you mentioned off the air before we started that there was a certain number of 4-H clubs in Montgomery County alone. I think you said 33.
1968,
yeah.
We have a list of clubs that one of the leaders had kept in our archives.
And there are how many today?
I think there are less than 10. I want to say they're, in terms of call it a full-service 4-H club. That's
right.
not a technical term, but those who are really committed to monthly meetings, community service, plus project development and member development as kind of the original model, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
I can think of 6 clubs off the top of my head.
Okay.
But then there are also special interest clubs, for example, sewing, cooking, robotics, and shooting sports.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting to me is that some of the, Joyce mentioned the girls' clubs, like Jolly Workers, and I forget the Fillmore Club, that Future Homemaker, or Frontiers, or somewhere, Fillmore Friendship, their focus was kind of that sewing and cooking. It was almost a special interest club at the time.
Yeah, like a home ec kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we've come, in a way, full circle, although it's not just gender-based, it's interest-based.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also a Clover Bud Club and a homeschool club where they are focused on hands-on activities and learning, individual learning. But there again, I don't know that the community service piece is there, or if the parliamentary procedure piece that we try to teach our members.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Right.
Through those. But it is interesting to see how it is evolving over time.
Sure. Do you think that the number of groups going down from 33 to around where we think it is now, that has to do with the increase in number of people that are in these clubs, like Star Shooters has grown?
To me, I think part of it is a pattern of rural demographics.
Okay.
And we've seen an out-migration from rural areas since the 1940s.
Mm-hmm.
And with improvements in transportation and communication, people can travel farther, faster. And I think a lot of it has just been a concentration over time. So whereas now, I haven't looked at total enrollment from that report from 1968, but we may be close to about the same enrollment. It's just concentrated into fewer clubs,
okay. Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And there's also, as with anything, it is that challenge of leadership over time. And that's why I think it's impressive. Joyce is a leader for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Marty Benning, who's an amazing leader from the north end of the county and has been recognized at the state level as well. It's a commitment, it's a passion, and there's a lot to it.
Mm-hmm.
And finding people, I'm constantly on the lookout for who I can groom, you know, for the next 20 years.
Sure, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Joyce, can you tell me a little bit more about the history? I know you've started talking about the late 40s, and obviously you served from 82 to 2002.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you wanted to mention?
Well, I thought I might just mention some of the former leaders.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, after Dale Houck and Marvin Shrimp. Marvin Shrimp would have probably led the club longer,
mm-hmm.
but he was called to service at that time.
To the Korean War.
To Korean
War. Okay, that's
yes.
right. That's another factor you had
yes.
going on at the time as well.
So after that, Claude Hamlin became a leader of the club, and after that, Wayne Nodal. And his wife helped, although she was the leader of the Jolly Workers.
Mm-hmm.
But he was the leader for a long time. There were, as Heather said, there were 33 clubs in the county in the 60s. Then after Wayne Nodal was a leader, Fred and Velma Fesser became leaders. And they also helped Wayne and Irene for several years before they became leaders. And also Gary and Janice Nodal,
mm-hmm.
Don and Ed Boyles led for a year or two, helping out. After that, my husband and I became leaders. And he didn't lead as long as I did because he was involved with the county board at that time and they were building the jail and the courts building. But he was a former leader of a Fillmore Friendship 4-H club
okay.
A couple of years after we were married. I helped him with that club. And then Ed Kiefer came on board to help my husband and I lead 4-H.
He's the peanut brittle.
He is the master.
Okay, yeah.
The maestro.
And he's already bought his couple hundred pounds of raw peanuts to begin making his peanut brittle for these auctions.
So that'll be available at this.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Item.
Yes, he's aware of that, and he knows that everyone's expecting them to be there. He packages them in one-pound bags, and some of them bring up to $60, $70 a bag. So,
wow. That's awesome stuff. Love peanut butter.
Well, we appreciate Ed. He's been a great supporter of our 4-H club. He was a member before he became a leader. Mm-hmm. So,
and David, if you'd like to make an absentee bid, I can write that down.
I will absolutely do that.
Then after, as soon as Ed came on board a couple years later, Pam and Bernie Hand joined us. So there were five leaders of Star Shooters. And the interesting thing is Bernie Hand was president of Star Shooters in 73, 74, then became a leader in 87, 88. So there's a lot of history there. Tradition.
Sure.
Our family is based on, our club is based on family and tradition. Mm-hmm. Then Kendra Cox helped lead also after I finished, and then Heather took over as leader. We're very proud of her.
And Kendra did a great job, I think, introducing, keeping members engaged in a fun way, in a light way, and still encouraging their leadership. And it's just been, it's been really interesting to be part of this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Was there anything else, Heather or Joyce, that you wanted to mention regarding this that I have forgotten to mention?
Well, I think an interesting part of the history of Montgomery County 4-H in general, and also Star Shooters 4-H Club, is there was a period in 1995 and even earlier when the county had to ask itself, do we want to support 4-H? And Joyce can talk about that.
Well, there had been two attempts to pass a referendum. Prior to that, there were articles coming down to the county level concerning federal, state, and local funding for the Cooperative Extension Service. And as the times, inflation, et cetera, a lot of things happening economically at that time, there were two referendums that had failed in our county, and I also think partly because we were trying to build the jail, there was the 911 service that was up for voting in 91, and I think that, you know, all of those working together was the reason probably that the referendum regarding the extension service failed. But in 1995, there was an all-out effort to try and pass it again. And there was a new committee formed. I was on that committee, and it was headed by Gary Kolkhorst and Ron Singler. And everything was done possible to promote the, you know, to the vote for a positive yes to pass the referendum to keep the doors open at the Cooperative Extension Service. There was a float that was pulled in every parade that summer. We sold T-shirts. Everyone was wearing a white T-shirt that said CES, Vote Yes. A lot of alumni, 4-H members, interested people, former leaders were asked to write letters to the editor, and they were published in the paper. Our own 4-H club decided that we would publicize the fact that we closed our meeting place. We met at Sandy Bend School, a one-room schoolhouse, for years. We took the flags down, the banners, all the plaques on the walls, locked the door, and closed. We did not have meetings until we could find out whether or not the referendum would pass, and then we could begin our meetings in January, which did happen. And one of our former members, John Hildebrandt, whose son was an officer in the Star Shooters 4-H Club at that time, John wrote to Reba McEntire because he knew she was a former 4-H'er, the well-known country female artist. And he received a note back from her, and which was published in the county paper also. She was supporting the 4-H program and encouraged people to vote yes. So after all of this and our efforts, it did pass. 3,600 to 1,800 votes. So we were lucky and were able to keep the Cooperative Extension Service operating, 4-H to continue on the programs and other, you know, programs that the service has offered for years. So we were very lucky.
But it was a tense time not knowing whether
very
or
much
not it
was so,
going to
yes,
pass.
Very much so.
And ironically, at the time, Brian and I were not yet married, and I was on the referendum committee in Sangam and Menard counties.
Okay.
So I was on their extension council, and I know I was 8 years old. No, I'm just kidding. and we were able to pass that referendum in Sangam and Menard counties too, and it was just. But I remember talking with Joyce at the time about similar strategies and how are you approaching it, and the door-to-door canvassing that was done in Sangamon County in particular. And but because of that type of leadership, Montgomery County is now the, it didn't just start there, it's a continuum. We're now the main office for Unit 18.
Wow.
Because Extension has continued to consolidate over time. So now four other counties But we're very fortunate that we have that administration out of our office. But because of our strong county position that allowed us to do that.
Yeah, I mean, this was a concerted effort. And if it passed by pretty much 2-1, I mean,
it
was a lot of hard work that paid off.
But like I said, the timing was right for this particular referendum to go.
Sure. Has the current budget impasse that's going on in the state, is that playing a pretty big effect on funding 4-H, and how is 4-H struggling now with the budget impasse?
The short answer to that is no, we are not yet struggling in our unit.
Okay.
The management in Unit 18, and I give a lot of credit to our unit directors, Denise Kistner and now Amanda Cole, have done an outstanding job working with local units of government and partners like Farm Bureau and Soil and Water and MJM. I mean, they have lots of partners for the various programs, and they have a huge programming area. Their annual report is really an interesting and informative read of how their outreach, how far it extends. But there are counties in the state that are not in as good a position as we are. So it has had impacts in other places. It has definitely had impacts in terms of University of Illinois and their staffing. And I know from being on advisory boards on campus that there are a lot of strategic questions being asked about how much they can invest in research, how much they can invest in outreach, and how much student tuition should help offset those faculty members.
Sure.
I mean, these are very real, very hard questions. And I know they continue to struggle with answering that. And the university, gosh, even 4 years ago, was $600 million behind in terms of state of Illinois payments.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's only gone up. So, yeah, there are definitely ripple effects, and there are efforts.
It's affecting 4-H. It's just not affecting us yet.
Us yet. Yeah. And in talking with our unit leader, that would be a good interview to have. I think that she feels confident about where we are for the next 6 to 8 months, but the questions related to state budget, they impact everyone.
Right.
In direct ways and indirect ways.
Again, that was Heather Hampton Nodal and Joyce Nodal with the Montgomery County Star Shooters. And that's it for this edition of Around Montgomery County. I'm David Jenkins. Tune in next time. Until then, so long.